As we observe the festival of St. Michael and All Angels, help us to give thanks for the ministering spirits that you have created to watch over us. And we ask, Lord, that knowing that they are there and that they serve us would help us to relax, to know that we're never alone, that you and your holy angels are always around us and with us. In Christ's name, so teach us. Amen. Let me see now if I can figure this out again. There we go. I tried to do better with my PowerPoint so that you can actually read it. September 29 is the date of St. Michael and All Angels, the feast. Now, it's known in Europe as Michael Mass. Think about it, the Mass of St. Michael. Just as Christmas, the name Christmas is the Mass of Christ that we celebrate at his birth. Now, it's a big deal in Europe and England and Scotland and Ireland. I don't know how many of you, when you were growing up, actually had a Christmas goose for dinner. Well, the way that started was on the feast of St. Michael, the King of Ireland, during the time of St. Patrick. This is probably mythology a little bit, but they swear to it to this day. The king was eating a goose on the feast of St. Michael. And he got a goose bone stuck in his throat, and he died. And St. Patrick was there, and St. Patrick prayed for him, and miraculously he came back to life. And the king was so grateful that he said, every Christmas, every family is supposed to sacrifice a goose in honor of my life and the birth of Christ. Now, they did that throughout Europe. Everybody would have a Christmas goose. Everybody was happy except the geese. They weren't so happy about that. But it's kind of interesting to know. The fall term at the universities would start on the Feast of St. Michael. That was the time when the farm contracts would be let out in the same way. It was a big deal. Now, we don't think so much about angels in our day. We have, what is it, the Anaheim Angels. I don't know how they're doing this year. But other than that, we have some Hell's Angels I see once in a while around. Now, but St. Michael is the angel, the archangel. Archangel means chief. There are, we'll talk about that in a moment. Let's see what I've got set up here. There are three archangels mentioned in the Bible. The first is Michael. That festival is named after the angel Michael. Now remember, he is the angel of protection. We're going to talk about what Michael has done and what he continues to do. Then there's Gabriel. We read in the gospel lesson. Remember at Advent, he appears to Mary and announces that she is going to give birth to the Christ child. And then there's Raphael. He is the angel of healing. Mentioned in the Old Testament and in the intertestamental period, in the intertestamental book of Tobit there. And he is the one that they still, people in the medical profession still refer to him, probably not so much anymore in our day and age, but in the Middle Ages and in Europe and so forth. Now, it's interesting to note that Michael is the angel of protection, and in the United States, for law enforcement people, he is the guardian angel. They celebrate a blue mass on St. Michael's Day in New York City to this day, so the men and women of law enforcement can go and they appreciate the protection of St. Michael. And trust me, they need our prayers. Almost 300 have been killed in the line of duty this year already, and it's only, well, it's fall. It's another day when the Minnesota Vikings will probably lose again. But time is going by rapidly. But we pray for the men and women of law enforcement there. Now, This guy, I don't know if you can read that, but it said, you know how these people carry around the signs, the end is near? Well, this guy says, it's never going to end. Think about it for a moment. We get to feel that way periodically. It's never going to end. I mean, just think about the news and all the stuff that's going on in the world. And you think about the illnesses in personal life and the trials that we have there. And then there's the national stuff and the news media and the politicians and all the troubles around the world. It's never going to end. We wonder about that. Like this guy. He looks up at the heavens and he says, God, are you still up there? We wonder about that sometimes. Well, then we celebrate St. Michael and All Angels Day. And we remember that God has a plan to care for us. You see Christ on the cross, Good Friday. Christ comes, we talked about this in Bible class. Christ comes, he is God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. He sacrifices himself, even though he is without sin, he is truly human, he is true God, he is God so that he has the power for his sacrifice to be given for the forgiveness of our sins, and he is truly human so that he can make the sacrifice of undergoing physical death, and on the cross, he undergoes even hell for us when he says one of his seven last words, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? He is God's care for us. His death overcame sin. He forgives our sins. It overcame death because he died. You and I are not going to stay dead. Okay? He who believes in me will live forever, we are told. When we die, our soul, because of that forgiveness of our sins that Christ brings, the angels come and take it to heaven. And he overcomes Satan. We're going to talk about that. That's one of the things St. Michael and all angels are all about, is they overcome Satan and the evil angels. Now, angels come from God. They're God-created spirits. I know you'll see on TV all the time, and that's okay. Somebody dies, and they say, well, now they're an angel in heaven. Well, you're not going to do that, folks. You're a human being. You're going to be a human being even when you get to heaven. Okay? Angels are specially created ministering spirits. Angel means messenger. And they're sent from heaven to help us. Now, the kids always used to ask in confirmation class, now, Pastor, if God is all-powerful, if he's everywhere, why on earth does he need angels? I thought about that for a while. And my standard answer to them and to you is, I don't know, when you get to heaven, ask it. Think about it for a moment. I saw a thing on Facebook, you probably saw it too, where the lady is in the street and there are squirrels wandering around. She says, and the caption goes, well, now I know how God feels. Just like when I'm trying to yell at the squirrels to get out of the street to save their lives, that's how God feels when he looks down at us. Well, God's got a big job. I'm not sure why he needs ministering spirits, but he does. That's the creation of things. Now, originally, all angels were created good. They had free will, just like we have free will. Now, that doesn't mean you can choose God. The angels couldn't choose God either. But in order to have free will, you have to have the ability to reject God. Now, we can't choose God. You had some baptisms recently. The children are brought to the baptismal font. In the name of the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit, the water is applied. The Holy Spirit creates faith and union with Christ in them. Now, God forbid, but as they grow, and any of us, as we grow up, as we go through life, we can say, I don't want anything to do with Christ anymore. That's your free will, the ability to reject God. That's what the angels did. They had that ability to reject God. They were led by Lucifer. Satan. Nain means one who wants to be God. He was apparently jealous. We don't understand the mystery and the psychology and the culture of angels particularly, but the scriptures tell us, and we read in the lesson from the book of Revelation, that there was what, a great war in heaven. Lucifer and the evil angels, a bunch of them rebelled against God, and they were tossed out of the heavens. Let's see once if I can find that. Okay. I get so fancy sometimes with PowerPoint, I scare myself. Okay, there you see the symbol of Michael defeating Satan. Obviously, this is not videotaped or anything like that. We have no pictures of angels. Mary visibly saw an angel. Usually they're invisible. Most people don't see them at all. It's a thing where they can make themselves visible, but they're invisible spirits. Michael defeats Satan. He and the good angels then are confirmed in their goodness. They can't fall anymore. The evil angels, including Satan, are confirmed in their evilness. They can't be saved anymore. We'll talk about that in a moment. Now, in Revelation, as we read, now the salvation and the power, the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses the people day and night, that right before our God. Now they have conquered him. The Christians have conquered the Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they love not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell therein. Now, evil comes from evil angels, okay? Adam and Eve were tempted in the Garden of Eden already. Satan comes to them. You remember that story. And Jesus replies in the book of Revelation, in the Gospels, and Luke, he says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. There you see the artist's rendering there. When Satan and the angels rebelled, they were cast out of the heavens. And where do they go? Well, watch the evening news. You'll see them. They're on earth. They're around all of us, trying to get us to do what they want. Now, what did they do to us? But woe to you, O earth, the scriptures say, and the sea, because the devil has come down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. In the relative scheme of things, 1,000 years, 2,000 years, 6,000 years seems like a long time. But time goes by real quickly. Satan is here and he recognizes, I'm not going to live forever. My mother lived to be 101. My wife says, I'm probably not going to live that long. Not the way you drive, she tells me. That's a myth. That's not reality, I would hasten to add. But think about it. None of us are going to live that long. Satan has one crack at us. When we die, if we have faith in Christ, we go to heaven. If we don't, we can spend some time with Satan then. But think about it. Temptation is around us all the time. Why? Because the time is short for Satan to work and win in each of our lives there. Think about World War II, the Battle of the Bulge. Remember, there was no doubt when the Allies defeated Germany in the Battle of the Bulge about the outcome of the war. Yet what happened? It went on for months. Thousands and thousands of people died needlessly. Why? The outcome was known. You and I, we follow Christ, we know what the outcome is. We know that we're forgiven, that we're going to go to heaven. Those who don't follow Christ is kind of silly. The outcome is already determined. Christ has won forgiveness. He's defeated Satan. He's given us the gift of eternal life. But while we're here, I don't know if you can make that out, but the guy's walking a tightrope, and he's got one of those poles, and he's got a devil on one hand and an angel on the other hand. Think about every time we live each day, we are tempted in various ways. Evil is a reality. It's not just out there, it's on us. You got up this morning, what? Your good angel said, look, time to go to church. Your evil angel said, no, you can stay home and watch the Vikings lose this morning. That, by the way, is why I'm here. But think about all of the things. When you're little and you're growing up, you know, your mom or your dad says, okay, don't touch the candy. And what do we do? What did we do? We probably touched the candy. And then we said, we're told by our parents, now, who took the candy? Did you take the candy? And then we again are tempted. Should we tell the truth, face the consequences, or should we say, no, my sister did it? That's what I always say. Temptation is all around us. God sends his angels to help us with this kind of thing. We have good angels like St. Michael, the archangel. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. Think about how many angels there are. They are millions and millions of them. Everybody gets a guardian angel. When you're baptized, you get not only one guardian angel, but the whole host of heavenly beings there. In the song we read, for God will give his angels concerning you to guard you all your ways, in all your ways. They will, the psalmist says in Psalm 91 also, they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Remember Jesus' temptation in the wilderness? That's what Satan tempts him with. He quotes this psalm and says, hey, you can throw yourself off. You don't have to go the way of the Via Della Rosa, the way of sorrows, the way of the cross. I will give you the whole world if you will just worship me and throw yourself down. Think about this beautiful picture. I don't know how many of you have this in your home. If you don't, if you have grandchildren or children, I would buy one for them. My grandmother had one in each of our bedrooms in Minnesota. When the lightning would light up the room at night and the house would shake, we would look up and what would we see? A guardian angel watching over us. In the wintertime, the winds would howl and the windows would leak as the winds blew and it was so cold. And you'd say, wow, I wonder what's going to happen. And you'd look up and you'd see a guardian angel. Remember the prayer? Maybe you said it when you were little. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, what? I pray the Lord my soul to take. Put your children, you go to bed, your grandchildren to bed. The holy angels watch over them. They're guardian angels at night. Old Testament, Daniel and the lion's den. The angels came, they closed the mouth of the lion. Birth of Christ, the angels announced the birth to the shepherds. The heavenly hosts were there, carrying out God's will. Here you see the picture of the angels ministering to Jesus at his baptism. He's about to go in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights to be tempted by Satan. God sends the angels there to minister to him, to strengthen him for what he's about to go through. Paul, in the book of Acts, is thrown into prison. At night, the angels come, they put the guards to sleep, and the apostles are loosened by the power of the angels there. I want you to remember, because you celebrated St. Michael and All Angels Sunday, you're never alone. We are sick sometimes. You know, we always worry about, I hear parents who are sick or grandparents, the families don't want to leave their side because they don't want to leave them alone. And sure enough, they go down to the cafeteria and the grandparent or parent dies and they go, oh, I left them alone. No, you didn't. You're never alone. Who's always with you? Your angels. Christ. He sends them. He watches over you. That's a great thing to remember. Then remember the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because Christ and his angels are always with us. And what happens when we die? The scriptures tell us that Lazarus died and the angels carried him to Abram's side. You breathe your last breath, what happens? The angels carry your life, your soul, your consciousness to heaven. When you wake up, you're in heaven. But there is no more pain, there is no more sorrow, there is no more evil. And all the saints dwell, and you amongst them because of Christ. Now, I like this cartoon. It says, I have a feeling that my guardian angel sometimes looks at me like this, and the angel's going, oh. Yeah, God sends us angels to keep us busy, or keep us protected, and we get very busy, and we keep them very busy sometimes. They never get discouraged, though, and they always carry out God's will. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? I want you to remember, inherit salvation. That's what is going to happen. That's why God sends the angels, is to make sure that we do inherit salvation. Now, you probably can't make this out, but remember when you were a kid, the caption here says, you and what army? Remember when you were a kid, you get in an argument with somebody and they'd say what to you? You're going to do it. And you'd say to them, yeah, who's going to make me? And they'd say, I will. You'd say, you and what army? Well, there God's people are surrounded by the heavenly host. That's the army that's going to take care of them there. Now, the household evening prayer, prayed at Compline, and I think I've got a spelling error, but it goes like this. It's a good prayer to pray at night. It's for the dwelling for each household. The prayer goes, visit this dwelling, Lord, that we that you may drive from it all the snares of the evil one. May your holy angels dwell here to guard us in peace, and may your blessing remain with us always through Christ our Lord. Amen. That's a good prayer to pray at night. I want you to remember St. Michael and all the angels. It should give you a lot of comfort. And almost every book in the Bible talks about angels, yet in our society, we don't think about them very often. But we're missing out on a lot of comfort that God wants us to have in Christ's name.